Jesus. We ask for God that you speak to us tonight. We ask for a word in season. We ask that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Give Jesus a big clap of hands and you may be seated. That was a wonderful time with the youth choir. We'd have loved to continue, but we want to be able to be true on time so that we can move on into the next segment. Praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome you tonight to this time in the program for the married people and the single people. We have been bombarded so much by many issues in homes, in marriages, and with single people. We are in a season and in a time such as it has not been before, where the issue of delay in marriage, confusion to marry, has escalated. And also, marriages, challenges, people coming to a point where they say, I'm tired, I'm not ready to go ahead anymore. I need another life. I need to break out. And so on and so forth. These reactions and these emotions and these feelings are not God's will. He has created marriage to be a place of solace, a place of peace, a place of joy, a place where you are receiving constant affirmation, where you are receiving constant encouragement, where you are nurtured, where you are assisted, where there is mutual assistance to each other. And that is why marriage is for better and for worse, or for better and for best, as we say it here in our marriage joinings. I want somebody to know here today that Jehovah shall give a visitation tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, just by way of introduction, and then the senior pastor will be coming up to share the word with us. I'd like us to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 29, and then we'll read from verse 11. Let's take from verse 10. Genesis 29:10. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flocks of Laban, his mother's brother. Verse 11, and Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And the story continues. Now, we're going to jump all the way to chapter 30. I'm going to read from verse 1 till about verse 15. It's a bit of a long reading, but we're going to read it. And when Rachel saw that she bade Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead? Who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, going unto her, and shall bear her on your knees. So jump to verse 13. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed and call his name Asher. And then in verse 14, and Reuben, who is the first child of Leah, went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And in verse 15, Leah got angry and she said unto her, is it a small matter that you have taken my husband? And wouldest thou also take away my son's mandrakes also? Listen to Rachel. And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. We can stop there. Or let's go. And no need. We can stop there. Praise the Lord. Because of our time, there's no need to read further. I want to look at something I titled, Beware of Marrying Rachel. for both men and for women. What do I mean by that? The process by which Jacob encountered Rachel, and the process by which he married Rachel, and then the character of Rachel, is just something small that we'll extrapolate from today and see how we can apply it to our contemporary days. Number one I'd like to say is, don't marry for physical factors. Don't let physicality be the determinant of your choice in marriage. The Bible tells us Jacob came. You remember the story of Isaac's marriage? The Abraham's servant that was sent, he went. The first thing he did was to pray. First of all, he received impartation from his father, an unction from his father. Then he went, and when he got to the city where he was to marry from the kindred, the first thing he did was to pray and ask God, let my journey be prosperous today. Jacob, we have no record of praying as far as marriage was concerned. He just took his journey and got into the land of the land where his mother's brother Laban was, and then he saw a beautiful girl at the well, and then he lifted up his voice and started crying. What was the purpose of the cry? I am overwhelmed with love. Have you seen young men before? Oh baby, I love you. My heart is just, I can't live without you. I can't sleep without, I can't breathe without you. You are the only sugar in my tea, the only mosquito in my net, it's so full of emotions. It's so full of emotions. There are young ladies that if the man, what they say, I don't want to anybody to say that her friend reported her, but have you seen some people's prayer requests for husband? He has to be tall, 6 foot tall, he should be fair, or he should be dark depending on the girl's predilection. He should be a millionaire, he should have 6 cars, he should have XYZ. Has anybody seen any? Be honest now, you've seen that type, right? I didn't say you're the one that made the list, but you've seen that type with your friend. Wave again at me. I see you. All right? I have seen, not one, not twice, not three. Beloved brothers and sisters, I'm not saying anybody should marry an ugly person. And as a matter of fact, there's no ugly person in this world. Yes. When God completed the process of creation, he looked and he said, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. He made man. He said, it is good. In fact, very good. And so, the physical is not your number one consideration. Yes, you must value who you marry. In those days, we used to have young people that say, you are God's will for my life. If it's not that God said it, you are God's will for my life, I don't like you enough to marry you, that's another misnomer. That's another extreme. Yes, value the person, appreciate the person's physicality, like the person, like how the person is. I must tell you the fact, my husband tried, when he was to marry me, I was without form and void, I don't know how he did it. I wasn't bothered about guyness and all those kind of things, and I would just wear anything my father or my mother bought for me, and I'm off in the campus doing my academic work and just moving around and all that. And I had these thick glasses that was like Coke bottle and just moving. You know how you praise the Lord. But he saw beyond that, and at the end of the day, I think God decided to have a little mercy. And the end product was not that bad. So what else do we see in the arrangement of Jacob in marrying Leah? The second thing that we see is, Jacob wasted 14 years of his life in the process of pursuing, I don't want to use the word, the wrong person. I don't want to use that word, but there might have been a better option. He used 14 extra years of his life. And at the end of the day, he only began to be who he was meant to be after almost 21 years. That was when he began to own property. He began to earn. He began to become who he was meant to be on the basis of the fact that he went in the wrong direction. Number 2 point is, if you marry wrong, it might take you long to arrive at who you are meant to be. If you marry the wrong person, it might take you a longer time to arrive at who God meant for you to be. There are women that get married and they become a shadow of themselves. Their giftings, their talents, their beauty, their aspirations die. There are men that marry and they begin to go down in life and in destiny. So, beloved brothers and sisters, who you marry is so important for your life and your destiny. Like the senior pastor says, it can make your life or it can mar your life. It can decorate your life or it can damage your life. It's so very important. Now, as married people already, you feel you are married to the wrong person. What do we do? It is to do what we call damage control. You can't throw away the baby with the bath water. You bath the baby inside the bath. The bath water is dirty. You need to discard the bath water. You can't throw the baby away. You manage the baby in another facility, like on your legs, on your laps, or on the bed, on the couch, while you handle the bath bucket. You might find yourself now and say, this person, I made a mistake. But in that mistake, there was something that attracted you to that person. We were discussing with somebody the other day, and the only thing she could think of that was why she married the person was that he had a kind character. You can take the one singular character you have found, and you can build on it, and bring out the best in it. But beloved, every single time you find yourself confronted by the choice as young people of who to marry, you must put into consideration the fact that is this person going to help you to go further in life, in your future, or is this person going to stagnate you? What are the person's life principles? What are the person's characteristics? And that's why we have said many times, marry from the kingdom of God. Marry among brethren. It doesn't just stop at that. Marry the person who speaks as you speak, who understands as you understand, who has the same values and the same principles and the same characteristics like you have. Number 3. Maybe I should rephrase my topic. Don't marry a person with the following characteristics. So that no Rachel says I preach against her. Praise God. Sir? Okay, sir. So, we're going to look at Rachel's characters. Some of the characters in the lives of Rachel, which we are going to take out, and if you are a man, you are applying it to your to the female you want to marry. If you are a female, you are applying it to the male that you want to marry. Number one, in Genesis chapter 30 and in verse 1, where Rachel had not had children, she said to Jacob, said, "Give me children or I die." This takes us to the fact of the spirituality of the person that you marry. Your spiritual stance should be on the same level with whoever it is you are marrying. You don't marry down spiritually with the hope that you are going to help the person up. Over the years, we've seen young ladies that come and they say to us, we ask and he said, is the man born again? And he said, he's not born again, but he goes to church. Those are two different things. A person, you are born again, you have a relationship with God, you need to be sure of that person's relationship with God so that you are on the same spiritual pedestal. Anyone who is on the higher pedestal is easily drawn down by the person on the lower pedestal. And so if it is the man that is on a lower pedestal, it becomes easier for him to draw the woman down. But when the man is on a higher pedestal, it's easier to tow your wife along. And so it's very vital, especially for women, to ensure that you marry somebody who is on the same spiritual platform with you. Men, in marriage, it's your responsibility to help your wife spiritually. It's your responsibility to care for her spiritual life. Ensure that you are moving along with her. You guide her. You help her. You show her. You are part of her spiritual journey. And as this happens, I believe that the Lord shall grant us victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number two, we see in the life of Rachel that there's this issue of, do I call it the issue of I don't know what to call it. Common sense. I put it here. She lacks mentality. She lacks mentality. You see in verse 14, Reuben, the son of Leah, found mandrakes in the field. And he brought the mandrakes and Rachel asked Leah to give it to her. I'm told that mandrakes are some form of aphrodisiacs or so, and the implication of that was well known. It was a bit uncaring. It was a bit callous to ask her sister to ask this other lady to give her the mandrakes and not have the mandrakes to herself. And you must be very, very conscious of when you are in courtship, be on the lookout. What is the character of the person? This brings us to the point of character. What kind of character are you able to live with? There is a teaching we had done some time ago about character and marriage, and then another one about love languages and marriage. For instance, you are a person who does not like to talk too much, and you must be conscious of the person you are marrying. Are you going to be able to cope with the level of talk that the person talks? Are you able to cope with some of the things that the person does? When we got married, my husband kept on, you know, training and pruning. He says, you don't need to explain all the details. You don't need to greet everybody. I was a proper, complete sanguine. I had some melancholic characters, but the sanguine overrode it. And over the years, it has been highly mellowed down, and, you know, I'm a bit calmer now. Praise God for that. And of course, you know that he was not a smiler. He didn't used to smile. He preaches now, making people laugh. He's, you know, very outgoing, which has happened because of association. But before you marry, be sure that the characters you see and the temperaments you see are temperaments that you are able to cope with. I don't know if we're going to be able to talk about characters in this tonight's meeting, but we'll probably talk about it another day. Now, number three, under Rachel's the attributes in Rachel that we see, was that she was selfish, she was self-centered, and she was manipulative. She was selfish, she was self-centered, she was manipulative. She told Leah, she said, okay, if you don't want to give me your son's mandrakes just for giving sake, all right, I will buy them from you by allowing you to have relationship with their shared husband for that day. That was some characteristics that were obvious. You see, beloved, in courtship, for instance, as you are watching the person, be observant of character. Be observant of, is this person all about me, myself, and I? Are you going to be able to cope with that kind of attribute when you enter the marriage? Me, myself, and I? These are very important things that you need to take note of. There are men that care only about themselves. They don't care about their wives. They don't care about their children. There are men that can, you know, they are on their way back home, they will branch suya spot, eat the suya by themselves, be full on the meat, and then they go back home to join the children to eat meatless soup, watery liquid soup, because that's all the money that was made available for the mother to cook for the family. Your consideration of your spouse is a very vital attribute that is important to make marriage work. Marriage is the successful working of two people. If you think about only yourself, if you are only considerate about your own self, that marriage will have challenges. You should be able to put yourself in the shoes of your husband. Put yourself in the shoes of your wife. If I were this woman, how would I feel? How would I fare? And then you make sure that if you don't want to feel bad or fare bad, you relate with that person in that line. Praise the Lord. I will move on to the next point, which is the fact that do we call this covetousness or greed or stealing? In that verse, chapter 30, verse 14, let's read that. Verse 14, he says, I didn't write this down now. Let me just check for that. Where she went and they were going to, they were journeying back, and Rachel had taken her father's images and put them. She had taken them in chapter 31 and verse 19. Chapter 31 and in verse 19, it says, "And Laban went to share his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled." So he fled with all that he had. And then later, Laban came over and caught up with Jacob, who was with young children, so he couldn't push the caravan as fast as a person riding alone on a horse was. And he said, "Okay, if you are going, why did you steal my idols? Why did you steal my images?" And eventually it was discovered that it was Rachel that had stolen the images. She did not believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That takes us to point number 5. She lacked spirituality. She lacked the spirituality of Jacob. She lacked the spirituality of the lineage of Jacob. Now, you remember, Jacob was a young man who knew his place spiritually. He was a young man who understood his place in the sphere of in the realm and in the sphere of the genealogy of Abraham and Isaac, and he was able to wangle his way when he saw that Esau was an unserious young man, and he got the birthright, and we now say the genealogy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that much, but he was not conscious of it before he married. He did not marry a woman that could carry the weight of the responsibility that he was to carry. He did not put that into consideration before he married that wife. He needed to have married somebody who had an understanding of his, what do I call it, his placement, an understanding of who he was. Many people don't know who they are, and so they might end up marrying anyhow. But Jacob in particular knew who he was. He knew who he was. He knew his placement, and he didn't put that into consideration before he married. Beloved brothers and sisters, know who you are. And when you have known who you are, put it into consideration when you are picking a wife or you are accepting a husband to marry. A vulture cannot be connected to an eagle and have a safe flight. A chicken cannot be connected to a kite and have an equal movement. You cannot join a cow to a horse and expect them to move at the same speed. If you are a horse material, get yourself another horse. If you are a cow material, get yourself another cow. The two have their importance and their relevance. If there are no cows, we wouldn't see the milk and the leather and all the things that cows produce, including meat. In the same way, horses are used for battle, they are used for races and all that. So who you are determines who you should link yourself up with. I believe that the Lord shall grant us great help and great intervention in the name of Jesus Christ. And then finally, I'll be looking at the fact that you must marry for the future. Marry for your future, not for your present. Marry for your future, not for the present. Marry for the long run, not for the immediate. Marriage is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It is not a one-day affair. You don't enter into marriage with option two. There is no alternative. It's a one-way journey. It's a one-way traffic as far as the will and the intention of God is concerned. So if you are already noticing things now and you are not yet married, this is when to help yourself and help your future. If you are already married and you didn't know this and you are already in it, make up your mind that together you are going to make the future to count. When people fail in marriage, when the husband and the wife are not able to put things together, the major people that suffer are the children. I heard of a young girl, I think age 13, 14 or so, and on the verge of despondent, wanting to commit suicide because of issues of father and mother. We hear of all manner of things. We hear that in America, the majority of inmates in prisons are products of failed marriages. Beloved brothers and sisters, I believe that there are a couple of other things, but we're going to stop now. Please, can you rise up on your feet as we lift up our hands and ask God, Father, help me. Help me, oh God, to make it in marriage. Help me, oh God, in my choice of who to marry. Help me, oh God. If there is any issue now, help me, oh God. Give me the wisdom to walk it through, to walk around it. Give me the wisdom, oh God, and the patience, oh God, to accommodate the things that I see that are not working in my spouse so that we can make it work. Lift up your voice and pray. Ask God for His help today. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, grant me wisdom. Oh Lord, grant me your grace. Masete kele barada balabalaba. Lete ke sakatika la brada balaba. Leta suta kalida da. Lekere le kosata kalada da. Leka tu sakatika la da da. Lepa shakata kalada ba. Lekata sakita. In the name of Jesus.